Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James, we have 3 hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, it's going to be on mine. So when I got up today, John said to me, well, the last one's gone this month. That's the end of an era, 355 years, no more Hudson's Bay. And that was sad. And if you spend any time in Canada, invariably you've been to Hudson's Bay. Certainly a lot of department stores over the years started, like I say, 355 years ago, something like in the 1600s, as fur trading. And it evolved in really to the preeminent Canadian department store chain. And that's a significant moment in Canadian retail history. But not only. Because even if you've never been to Canada, interestingly, like so many others, and we'll get to some of that in a moment, in the fury of consolidation, Hudson's Bay had Saks Fifth Avenue. And not only they had several, and which they spun off a few years ago, and that's now become Saks Group. And we'll go over some of this. And I started to think, you know, all of us who grew up in the 40s or the 50s or certainly the 60s as well, maybe even into the 70s for sure, remembers their local department store, whether it was Goldwater's in Phoenix or whether it was Filene's in Boston or Shillitoe's or LSA's or you name it, wherever you were, if you were in the Columbus area and Cincinnati as well and several others, you remember Lazarus. Well, of course, now they're all one. That's right. It's all part of the Federated Group, which they call Macy's now. So we'll get to that and the history of that. But it is sad all the way around that what started as literally dozens and dozens and dozens of well-heeled department store chain, regional at best, are now all under basically one banner. Everything's pretty much Macy's. Now, to a secondary degree, you've got Dillard's, and we'll talk about that, but it is very secondary. For the most part, no matter where you are and what it is, it's part of Federated, or as they say now, Macy's. And sadly, Federated Buying Group had been around in Cincinnati since long before I was born, and probably the 1800s. And there used to be two buying groups for department stores. One was Federated, the other was Allied. So like if you shopped at Jordan Marsh, it probably was Allied. If you shopped at Shillitoe's, it was Federated. And Federated had always been proudly headquartered in Cincinnati. Well, of course, everything has changed, and now Federated is in New York. And this year, the downtown Federated building, from what I understand, in the next month or so, if it hasn't already, opened as an apartment complex. Ugh, a pox on their houses. All right, no, I'm sure they're very nice. So we'll get into that. But as I say, your thoughts are always top of mind for me. And we'll kick it off with Chuck in Milwaukee. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, but last week I called and I was asking you about pirate radio stations.
Yep.
And the week before that, I was asking about radio air checks.
Yep.
And I have another radio question.
Okay.
I have a lot of old cassettes that I've recorded over the years,
mm-hmm.
things I've recorded off the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of decluttering my house and I'm going through a couple hundred cassettes to decide mm-hmm. what to keep and what to get rid of.
Sure.
And one of them, I have a lot of cassettes by Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer.
Of course.
Who were big in Chicago. And I was trying to decide, do I want to keep these or get rid of them? And then I started wondering, well, maybe I could sell them to somebody.
Well, a gray area at best. Whether you're selling them or giving them away, I'd have to know exactly what was on them to know if anything was actionable. Now, the likelihood of anything coming of this is slim to none. It's more likely that you'll be hit by a UFO. But could it happen? Yes, it could. And again, it depends what is on that tape as to what might be in any way copyright protected. You don't have to take out a copyright to have copyright protection either, as far as that goes. And some people are under the misconception that if they give things away, that it's okay. And I remember years ago, my buddy Val Shively, who has a record store with 5 million 45s, he was making CDs for his friends and giving them to them. And I said, Val, you can't do this. Well, I'm just giving them away. I said, okay, if I come in tonight after hours in your store and rob you 1,400 CDs there. Now, let's say I decide I'm giving them away. Is it still robbery? Well, hell yes, it's robbery. I said, you get my point. So giving them away doesn't absolve you of anything as far as that goes. But again, the likelihood that anybody is going to come after you for some Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer tape, it's slim, fat, and none.
Okay. And what about old-time radio shows like Jack Benny?
Same deal. Are they copyright protected? You betcha they are. And now when you're talking about something like Jack Benny, undoubtedly somebody owns the rights to that today, actively. You know, I don't know Steve and Gary. I don't know how active they've been in trying to, create trademarks and go after them. I have no idea. But Jack Benny show, yeah, you betcha. You betcha that if you suddenly were selling them, you'd probably hear from somebody.
Okay. All right. And then also I have a record request. I called last week and made a request, but you said you wouldn't be able to get to it until this week.
What is
That was In the Midnight Hour by Wilson Pickett.
I played that, and I also played the answer record. I played both of them for you. And,
okay, good.
But so let's see. In fact, when I was talking to Johnny Goen, not last night, but the night before, if I go to Raleigh.net, I can probably find that. By the way, when you're talking about old-time radio shows, while I'm looking for this, I'll tell you that in some cases they've been donated to libraries and collections like that. That doesn't necessarily make it public domain. All right, so yeah, Wilson Pickett and Ann Mason. I played Wilson Pickett first, and then I played Ann Mason, 1965 Atlantic. And we talked about Ann Mason because, you know that record. She was good, and never, ever anything else by her, and that was on Atlantic. And so what the hell happened to Ann Mason?
Yeah, okay.
You know, I don't have an answer for that, but I'm pretty sure as I was listening to the backup band on that, it was pretty darn good, too, that is North Carolina-based. But anyway, so yes, now, if you want to hear them, you know, every one of my shows is available for download anytime. Just go to Raleigh.net and click on Downloads. And it was the show for Wednesday, June 4th, and it happened in the last hour or close to the last hour.
Oh, okay. That was just yesterday. Okay.
Well, no, I'm sorry. It actually was Wednesday, June 4th. It actually was Tuesday's show. I put it online Wednesday. So it'll say for Tuesday, June 3rd.
Okay. All right. And I have one more record request.
You do you? Well, I'll play it tonight. You be listening. What is it?
It's called Understanding by Johnny Nash.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You betcha. Yeah, he was. They were trying their best with Johnny Nash to make him the next Nat King Cole, and it obviously didn't hit. But when he came up with all that reggae stuff, boy, went to the top of the charts.
Yeah. Okay, then.
All right, good deal. I'll play that tonight, and you go look at Tuesday's show if you want to hear Ann Mason and Wilson Pickett, and maybe somebody listening will know what happened to Ann Mason. Who was she, and why only one thing? All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate
okay.
it. All right.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, Good voice. And, of course, like I say, good production. I'll look up sometime, but I'm pretty sure that background band, there's a North Carolina connection there. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And we'll get to Ruth, and we'll get to Gurney, and we'll in Gurney, and we'll get to Cindy in Chicago, and you two coming up on WGN Radio.
Understanding is the best thing in the world.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Understanding is the best thing in the world. Now, every time you see a man having troubles with his baby, 9 times out of 10, or he didn't get things right from the start.
I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Chuck in Milwaukee has good taste. I thought that was a great old record. 1965, it was on Joda. And Joe was for Johnny Nash, and Da was for Danny Sims. Together, they owned the label. His wife at the time, who was really a looker, Margaret Nash, co-wrote that with Sam Gary, who was mostly a blues writer. And Arthur Jenkins arranged it and conducted it, and they put it out, and absolutely nothing happened. But it was a woulda, coulda, shoulda, and that, of course, was before he was going to realize the kind of fame that had been eluding him all along when he got into all that reggae stuff. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Ruth and Gurney, what's up, Ruth?
Hi, Raleigh. First, I have to tell you that there were a couple of things I wanted to mention to John, because I tried to call on other occasions for brief comments, but he went right through me and put me on hold for getting through to you. First of all, the last time I had called, you were coming on, and I was going to be patched through immediately, and I knew it. And I disconnected because it was all about the children. You were talking about an incident involving in the news, and I didn't want to patch my voice through.
Okay.
And other times when I get disconnected from you, sometimes it's a lengthy wait, and the energy and the electricity start causing some physical pain.
Ooh, no.
In certain places.
No,
yeah.
No.
And then also sometimes it takes me 2 or 3 days to wash it off. And so high energy levels surrounding in the area I'm in has some part of it. And sometimes it's my hand can't hold the phone for or my arm for a really long time.
Are you using a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, they're pretty deadly as far as I'm concerned. I can't use them. I was perfectly fine in the old days, you know, in the bag phones and all that. But after they got to the point of LTE and where they are now, I'll tell you what, 30 seconds and I'm seeing double. And I get this weird little sick headache in the center of my head. And I've tried it 6 ways to Sunday, and it's just the way it is. So I can use a cell phone as long as it's across the room. But those things are deadly, holding them close to your head.
Well, number one, that's why I limit myself. And I'm really very careful to not overindulge in it. And, of course, another good reason is for when I disconnected the other day, the guy that got in, only a few minutes left, he was so appreciative. First-time caller, and he said, I can't believe he got through. And I thought to myself, you know, this was like standing in a line and telling the person behind me, you can go in front of me, or the whole line, you can go in front of me. That's how much I was thankful that he, a first caller, got in, because I disconnected, you know. It's like trying to do something in a little way is a great influence for me in my life. So I'm not worried about the deadly. I don't claim it. I don't accept that part of it. I pay emphasis on positive things and energy, but when I'm working with something, I accept it.
So hang on a minute. Don't go away, because we're going to break for the news here in a minute or so. So don't go away. And we'll pick it up right after that. And I promise we will. We'll come back and hopefully the phone won't eat Ruth. But yeah, I had an FCC attorney who was the absolute best. I loved this guy, Irv Gastfreund, and he worked for Kay Scholer. And he was just terrific. The things he did for me were just, you know, over the top wonderful. And you know, for whatever reason, we kind of bonded because he liked talking about old radio and stuff. So he would call me on his way home from Kay Scholer in D.C. to his house. And I think he lived like in Potomac, Maryland or something like that. I don't know. But certainly not close, and on the Beltway and all that. And I always used to say, Irv, you're going to get a brain tumor. I just know it. You got to stop this. And because sometimes it would be an hour and a half and he was still commuting, you know, which I wondered why you live there and work there. But that's another story. However, much to my sorrow and disappointment, within a decade, sure enough, Irv got a brain tumor. And it was right on the side of his head where he held that phone for years. And these are old phones. This didn't happen any time in the last couple decades, but it did happen. And sadly, he survived. He survived the surgery. He was never really the same. And then ultimately he died, which was sad. But, you know, it was kind of chilling because there I was, I'd say at least for 3 years, I was telling him when we'd talk, which was several times a week for a long time, Irv, you're going to get a brain tumor. Well, Irv did. So, of course, that's anecdotal, and I'm not saying that the phones are going to do anything to you. But if you do have, you know, some weird little sensations, best to keep that pretty far from your head. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, well, a young man ain't nothing in this world these days. I said, a young man ain't nothing in this world these days. In the old days, when a young man was a strong man, all the people stand back when a young man walked by. But nowadays, the old man got all the money, and a young man ain't nothing in this world these days.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Mose Allison, and that was a request, and the horrible part is, as usual, I forget who requested it. I'm not sure how I didn't write that down, but I didn't. Mose Allison was a very interesting guy. In fact, he was an influence to a lot of the British invasion acts who all were convinced that he was black. He wasn't. All right, he certainly had the background for it. Born in Mississippi, picked cotton. Well, of course, his granddaddy owned the farm, but went into the army for a couple years, but after that, graduated from Louisiana State in 1952, BA in English, minor in philosophy. But jazz was his love, and he moved to New York City in the 50s, the mid-50s, and launched a jazz career. Performed with Stan Getz and Jerry Mulligan and, you know, all the names of the day. And it was Prestige, the label that started to release stuff. The first one was in the 50s. I think it was called Backcountry Suite. But the album they brought out in 1963 called Mo those Allison sings was just terrific, and that's what Young Man comes from. So there you have it. And Prestige did everything to market this guy, including as a pop star. And then Columbia did, and Atlantic did, and because he sang the blues, Jet Magazine wanted to interview him because they were convinced that he was African-American. Well, that ended quickly. And he wound up getting a lot of acclaim, but no fame to speak of. He wrote over 150 songs, and very casual conversational style, actually, which you just heard in Young Man. So, all right, there you have it. I don't remember who requested it, and I apologize. Now, back to Ruth and Gurney, who's been hanging on, and hopefully her phone didn't eat her. Okay, Ruth.
Thank you. We're blessed.
Yes.
We're back to the other side of yesterday. Well, I have two song requests, which I very rarely ever do. One of the big reasons why is I really get so much enjoyment out of so much percentage of the requests or what you play. It's only a rare few that I don't like. Sometimes we're in common on songs. You don't like it. I don't like it. That song, Those Were the Days, I don't like that song. And
didn't you request it?
I did. I did.
Oh,
here's
God.
The reason why. But, however, it was wonderful when you said you didn't like it. I was glad for that juxtaposition.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I requested it because I felt I was paying homage to humility.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I like to get Our Lady of Humility at Beach Park in my pocket. I like to get some influence with her. So that was one of the reasons why I requested it, for the fact that you get to the point in life and you say to yourself, well, things are different. It's not the same as it used to be.
No, and it's worse.
You know, the way, only if you think it is.
Yeah.
You can have that little bit of opportunity to be that positive, that it's such a unique experience of thankfulness and gratefulness. So one statement, though, before I got into what I was talking to John about, the Preakness, the horse, journalism.
Yeah,
I had originally picked the two, the sovereignty and journalism, to win, and couldn't get to place my bet on them. You know, I mean, you wait 20 years to place a bet, and you know something's going to win. And then my income is below the poverty level, so this is significantly important. So journalism was going to win, and I thought to myself, well, there's another gal that I don't want to get on the wrong side of, and that would be God's soulmate, Mother Nature. So journalism won so that they could tell, Mother Nature could tell the Fourth Estate, you can't take the horse to the water and teach it to drink. I thought that was absolutely fascinating about the status of the Fourth Estate. You cannot teach them to drink. Take the horse to the water. You can't teach them to drink. Things have changed so much. So now back to my addiction.
Oh, by the way, before we get there, I will say, you know, you got $4 on a $2 bet, so you only doubled your money. Now, if you could have done a superfecta, that'd be $303 on a $2 bet.
Well, I'm not so versed about those things.
Okay.
And the last time I was there, I had to really beg somebody who worked there to explain what I needed to do when I got up, you know, to the teller, to the counter. And they helped me enough to where I won $77 on a $2 bet. But had I placed it the day before, I would have won several thousand because I knew that. But that was a long time ago. But anyway, the thing of it is that sometimes the accessibility prevents me from getting there and doing it on my own or finding somebody who will accomplish the things that I would like to do, which comes back to my addiction for prayers. I do 2 hours to 3 to 4 hours to 5 hours of prayers a day. And I know I'm addicted to it, and this is the reason why. I know it. In other words, people who have addictions often won't admit it. Rarely will they admit an addiction. So throughout my life, the common addictions, drinking coffee, I don't drink any of it. Alcohol, I don't drink it. Too bitter, coffee and alcohol. Cigarette smoking, I could quit it in the blink of an eye.
If I started it up, I could quit it immediately and was never addicted to it. All kinds of other things which would be addictive forms which people fall under. I would never be, from the time I was a kid, oh, music, Beatles, Elvis Presley, all kinds of things like that. I would never be addicted to it. Phases, frenzies, you know.
All right, so where is this going?
So the prayers, I'm addicted to the prayers.
Okay.
And here's the reason why. This is really interesting. I believe that these prayers are so phenomenal, and my wishes are so phenomenal, that it's like I'm catching stars in the heaven, and I know the prayer is going to be answered. And the things are so phenomenal that I pray for and wish for that it brings such an incredible joy and satisfaction, because I know it's only a matter of time when it comes to pass. And I get surprised. Aha, there it is. There's the dress in the resale shop that I didn't think would ever be out there again, because I didn't buy it at Macy's. Oh, it's just all kinds of phenomenal things that go on with my addiction for prayers. But I'll tell you, a psychiatrist would want to commit me if I admitted it to them. So
though, you probably don't want to admit it, but there's increasing research that they've done over the last few decades proving the power of a prayer actually works. And there's a lot of scholarly subjects about this now, people who've written papers and all that. So you're not alone.
Okay, now my request, and now this was not one of my favorite people as an artist, and I don't know why. And considering that I consider June Carter and Johnny Cash soulmates, but I'd like to request the song The Man in Black.
Okay.
And I'd like to request, and there's a reason for that, I don't usually wear that color because I want the positive energy of clothing and colors. But the song is so poignant and so phenomenal, and he was so popular.
What's the other
one? Okay, so now, Scorpio salutes Sagittarius for your precious love.
Oh, we're talking Jerry Butler, I take it.
Whoever you want.
Oh, really? Oh, well, if that's...
I mean, when you come up with a song with
no,
a cover artist that I've never heard before, I can't even begin to tell you what it means. I don't watch TV, okay? And so hearing music that I haven't heard before, or it's been the top of the charts and the popular one and that kind of thing, I just really think it's phenomenal to hear the depth of the different voices and the blessings. And the blessings that come with this music, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, amen, amen. I can't tell you how many times I sing that at the end of a prayer, and you played the song a couple of times last year, this last year. I can't even begin to tell you how doing that on my part, knowing it has been done by an artist like Signe Pottier or whoever. So that's it.
Well,
Whatever you want,
love has been done by a lot of people. Look, most people think of Jerry Butler in The Impressions, but Jackie Wilson did it with Count Basie. Linda Jones, the gal who did Hypnotize, did it. So there's several versions of it. So I'll try to pick one.
I don't know how you can choose.
Oscar Tony Jr. did it. You know, so there's a lot of people who did that song. I'll pick one.
Well. All right, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
Appreciate
good night.
It. Yeah, might defer to Count Basie. That could happen. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, David's in Winthrop Harbor. Hello, David.
Hello, Raleigh. Thank you for remembering me sort of again. So I have to shout out. It was me that requested the...
Of Young Man, okay.
That,
yeah.
Yes, ma'am. And then, you know... So I was talking to John, and we were talking a little bit. My favorite version was the Who, and their version I liked. That's kind of where I, you know, like I say.
Well, it's an interesting story because the Who were convinced that Mose Allison was black. Absolutely convinced.
Right. and it's. Because you mentioned the British invasion.
Yes.
And you know what's interesting about that song? It's a take on summertime blues.
Yeah, Well, or vice versa. Yeah, depending on how you look at that.
What came first?
Well, that's an interesting question. And, you know, Young Man was actually, even though the 1963 album had it, it actually was on some of his earlier stuff. So I'd have to try and find out when the copyrights existed for both of them. So we'll find out.
And then the other thing is, did you think you would be able to get the Who version in or no?
Well, if I can find it, that's the problem with that, because
the Who.
I think I've got the Who's version because they called it Young Man Blues, and now I know why you called it that. When Mose Allison did it, it's just Young Man.
Okay.
So, Young Man Blues. I've got that actually. Sure, I'll play that for you.
Okay.
All right. Good deal.
Appreciate you.
Okay, thanks.
Peace, Raleigh.
All right,
bye-bye.
My pleasure. I'll have to pay up quickly because otherwise I'll probably forget that David requested it because I don't have an implement of writing in front of me at this very moment. So that could change. Soaking a lot of things. All right, so let's check out Cindy here. And Cindy, actually, I was thinking about you today, Cindy, and I'll tell you why. You had asked about a lyric from a song about hammers and nails and all that stuff. And while I was driving, it hit me. That's El Condor Pasa by Simon and Garfunkel.
I never could think of the name of the song.
Well,
I never could.
Now you know, because I'm not going to play it. It's El Condor Pasa, Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay. Yep. Okay, but then, anyhow, I want to talk about mosquitoes, but first, before I do that, I wanted to see if anybody else heard the guy after you. He is so creepy. He must have been high on something.
Oh, please.
I mean,
let's not go there.
I mean, I've never been that weirded out by someone.
Okay, well,
for me to breathe and bring it up, I just turned it off.
Well,
but then, anyhow, about the mosquitoes.
Yes.
About the mosquitoes, I think I read it in the Wall Street Journal maybe a long time ago, that they were going to put, like, male sterile mosquitoes out to kill off the race of mosquitoes.
Right. They were genetically engineering mosquitoes. That's true.
Well, did they ever do it? Because now they're talking about West Nile virus again in the western suburbs.
Yeah, the, GM mosquitoes, genetically modified mosquitoes. They've been doing this for a year, a while, of a few kinds. And one they have where they do it genetically that they only carry two types of genes, and that stops them from, you know, carrying certain things. There's a self-limiting gene that prevents female mosquitoes from surviving to adulthood. And, of course, really all you care about is the females, because the males don't bite you. All right? So you never care about
right,
the males.
Right. There's
a fluorescent gene where they're, so they can identify the mosquitoes in the wild. So, yeah, there's been a number of genetic modifications that they've tried.
They are doing that. Yeah. I know that there was some kind of, like, illness with mosquitoes coming, like, to Florida, and then they were going to do it in Africa with the genetic modified mosquitoes.
Yeah.
But,
right.
I mean, we're still, why haven't they died out yet?
Well, it's not like that. They're not going to kill them all, and they don't want to kill them all. But there are programs where they sterilize the males and release them to, and that would stop the group of mosquitoes from going forth. But you don't want to eliminate mosquitoes.
I know, because birds eat them, but the thing about it is, I don't know.
It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. When I first heard that they were doing genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida, I thought to myself, oh, great, maybe this will be like kudzu in the South. You know, years ago, these idiots decided they'd release a little kudzu for environmental reasons. Well, the kudzu, of course, has taken over. And there's nothing more eerie than driving down a street and seeing what you know was once a farmhouse, and it's fully covered in kudzu. So, it's not, like I say, it's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. So, and mosquitoes are a food source for all sorts of things, and they're pollinators for some plants and all that, and the larvae's eaten by fish. So we're not trying to eliminate them entirely.
Well, I just, you know, was totally, I mean, I really was totally ignorant about it. I just read about it and I thought, well, I'll call Raleigh. But anyhow, would you play a song by the Eurythmics?
Which one?
Here Comes the Rain Again.
I don't know if I know this. All right, I'll look for it.
Okay, and that's about it.
All right,
it.
Cindy, good deal. Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know. So, 888-876-5593. Who coming up next for Dave in Northrop Harbor on WGN Radio?
Blues for all you people that paid to get in.
Well, a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days. I said a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days. But you know in the old days when a young man was a strong man, all the people they stepped back when a young man walked by. But you know nowadays, it's the old man, he's got all the money. And a young man ain't got nothing in the world these days.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there you are, The Who. They did it regularly in concert for quite a while. But while that was on, I was looking to see, well, when did Young Man get recorded originally, and when did Summertime Blues? Because that was David's contention that there was some similarity. Well, Young Man Blues, or Young Man, March of 1957 for Mose Allison, and it was on his debut album, Backcountry Suite. All right. So, of course, I mentioned the one in 63 was really widely, widely circulated. Now, as far as Hummer, so we're keeping March in 1957 in mind as we stroll on over to Summertime Blues, which was March of 58. All right. Recorded on March 26th, 1958 at Gold Star in Hollywood. Eddie Cochran and Jerry Capehart wrote it. So I would say that probably Young Man was first. So I'm glad we got that straightened out. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll talk to Eduardo in Tampa, find out about Job Fest 2025. Ken in Chicago, and Jim in Richmond had his surgery today, and we're going to hear about that in the next hour as well. And I think I have a few straggling requests as well. And I did find Cindy's Here Comes the Rain Again. I must have heard it. I put it on this computer, but I swear to God, I don't remember it. So I guess we'll hear that together. And that's the deal on that. Now, so full show tonight, obviously. We got two more hours to go. Tomorrow night, I'm not 100% sure if you'll have a replay of Monday Night Trivia. Well, you'll have it at some point, but or what, because, of course, the Stanley Cup continues the playoffs, and so that'll be tomorrow night. Whether that goes in overtime, lasts till after 10, you'll be the first to know. Now, somewhere they gave me a schedule about next week. That's right. And somewhere I could find it. That would not be right now. All right, I'll look, and we'll get back to you right after the news right here on WGN Radio. For Cindy, God knows it wasn't for me. The Eurythmics, I didn't even bother to look up what label it was on or when it came out. All right, so yeah, we won't be playing it again, but I hope she enjoyed it. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Riley. Well, before I get to the wonderful week that these two companies are going to be talking in a moment, which are kind of related to my job here. I saw this on Inside Edition. So I don't think I want to travel or anybody wants to travel near Miami Airport. Because apparently there's a train that passes near the airport, and it recently stalled. And they had to get out of their cars and start walking. They climbed over the shipping carts with their luggage, and it was still 2 miles to get to the airport. It was pretty funny seeing that picture.
Well, I'm trying to think, because I know exactly where the Miami International Airport is, Wilcox Field, right there on Lejeune Road. Where's the train?
Yeah, that's strange.
This must be something they built long since I've been gone, like Metro Rail or one of those things. I'll bet you that's it. I can't speak to that. It wasn't there when I was, that's for darn sure, but that's funny. I assume that they went to these great lengths because otherwise they would miss their flight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the street was a parking lot. I mean, a bunch of cars, you know, just there. They couldn't get through because of the train that stalled. So, got out of the cars and...
That's hilarious.
Started walking, yeah. And when they got to get over, they just, right in between the shipping cars, started climbing over with their luggage.
That's hilarious.
And it was still, like, a couple miles, so...
Well, I wonder where they were. Wonder if they were like on Northwest 36th Street. Where were they? All right, so I'll have to look at this.
Yeah, just a little mini research if you want to look into that.
Yeah, you betcha, because I want pictures.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Metro Rail is a 25-mile dual track that provides service to Miami International Airport and runs from Kendall through South Miami, Coral Gable, that direction. Okay, fine. And then there's Tri-Rail. They've got a Miami Airport station there, right there at Lejeune and Northwest 25th. All right, this will be a nice picture. I can't wait to see it.
Okay, so moving on. I got that email about Tampa General.
Yeah.
That they're moving on. So I don't know why, because they came in the news because apparently somebody got in trouble and obviously got fired because they were into the child XXX.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I hope maybe I'll be in a running for a position after hearing that news. That's a shame.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. What a way to get a job. I don't know. Do we have any idea what position this derelict held?
I didn't hear anything about that. Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows? What.
Yeah, other than that they were an employee of the hospital, an ex-employee.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Who knows?
And then the Walmart thing. So, not to sound too political, so those positions open up because the lady that takes care of my mother here, apparently she has a friend there. Mm-hmm. And I already knew this because I already saw this in the news. So they got the red card if they weren't immigration compliant.
Okay.
That's how the positions open up.
Yeah, I've heard that on the news, actually, as well, that they're very concerned about not wanting to be in the crosshairs on that. So people who cannot show that they're documented, they're out.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there you go.
So
you go.
That you know,
the
theoretically, that's a lot of positions.
Yeah.
You know,
there actually was a lady next to me when I went there on Thursday.
Yeah.
And really, there was really, it was really nothing to the interview. I didn't even call that an interview, other than the guy gets on a piece of paper and starts going into detail about the different shifts that are available.
Right.
And I just told him I picked one, like 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. So,
right.
But really, there wasn't anything to the interview.
Well, he probably just wanted to eyeball you and make sure you weren't listing to the side or, you know, otherwise unemployable. You know, you want to at least see somebody face to face. So probably that was
about it.
So it sounds like that should be a slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, especially after hearing that story, yeah. So the guy says, yeah, we'll be on the email and make sure you reply to the email because then that shows that you're interested if they offer the position. So,
right.
Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, but I'll keep you posted if there's any news about that.
Okay, now, it was a freight train, by the way. It wasn't Metro Rail, it was a freight train.
It was a freight train, okay.
Freight train that derailed, because I'm looking at this, stuck on the tracks from 5:30 to 7:30 in the morning, blocking traffic. All right, so where was this freight train? I think I do have pictures here. Oh, God. Yeah, social media videos show the blockage forced passengers to climb over the train. There you go. That's the pictures you're talking about. So that's the deal. All right. Well, you know, stuff happens, right? I mean, so I still don't know where the tracks are, but they don't sound like they're new tracks if it's a freight train. I gotta look for that. And I'll look.
That's
for
really the strange. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But they were determined to obviously not miss their flight, so just did it the old-fashioned way and just started walking.
Okay. Miami International Airport has freight train tracks primarily for the vertically integrated cargo community, a new cargo hub designed to streamline air cargo. Okay, so this wasn't there when I was, because I know this like the back of my hand. I'm thinking there are no tracks.
Of course.
And I couldn't
imagine.
Sure you do, yeah. But I couldn't imagine where these tracks were. Well, apparently they weren't, but they are now. The VICC will feature highly automated cargo throughput, minimizing truck dwell time. All right, well, they might minimize truck dwell time, but it certainly added to the dwell time of the passengers the other day.
Yeah, I only been to Fort Lauderdale when I was visiting from Chicago, Florida, never to the Miami one.
Yeah, but, let's see. Actually, it's not a bad airport, and it's very close into town. You know, it's not far out, so, you know, it's not inconvenient to use MIA, but which is also actually, when you get there, they always say MIA, Miami International Airport. That's true, but it's known as Wilcox Field. That's what it was originally.
Wilcox Field,
yeah,
okay.
You'll see that on the hotel. It's still there in letters. They've got Wilcox Field there. But anyway, so we've got a TikTok video showing people climbing over the train. Oh, this is too good.
There you go. Yep,
this
that's
is too
it.
Good.
Yep.
All right, yes, watching them as we speak. All right, well, that's one way. Yeah, so what happened was, in some cases, the people got out of the cars. You know, when it was an Uber, they weren't the driver. So they basically walk over the train, climb up, pass their luggage to one another, and then walk the rest of the way, 2 miles to the airport. And the people were complaining, no kidding. But the bottom line, they always say be early for your flight. So as far as I know, nobody missed theirs.
Well, good thing is nobody got hurt because, you know, people can't get hurt going.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one woman who did miss the flight. She said she missed her flight to JFK. due to her unplanned excursion. Now, apparently, it isn't the first time they've had nightmares at Miami International Airport more recently, but the building itself really does need an overhaul. So, and the people stuck in elevators and on escalators and the green liquid falling out of the ceiling, yeah, those people are pretty ticked. But walk another 2 mile walk to get to your
maybe it's haunted. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. As far as that goes, I'm sure that there's people who would love to move that airport because that land around it is very pricey now. So I had a kid I went to grade school with, sadly just died. But right before he died, he sold his land for $800 million there. So,
oh wow!
I know, okay. And then didn't live to use it. And stuff happens. But anyway, yeah, I remember when they bought it in, 1960. Not much. Certainly not anywhere in the millions. Yeah. Oh, good pictures. Thank you for that. I'll love this.
Yeah. I'm glad it's, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll love it because I'm here in air-conditioned comfort, not walking anywhere. So it's a lot of fun to watch these people. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. That might have been a James story, you know. You never know.
He
might have brought that up.
Yeah, no, I'll look for more videos when I'm off the air because these are pretty priceless. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right, so I'll tell you next week how the Metallica thing went.
Oh, yes.
Tomorrow and Sunday.
Yes, well, enjoy it.
They did, yeah.
We know it'll be a robust crowd. I'm putting a good spin on it.
Okay, I'm sure it will
can't
be,
wait. Can't wait. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Field report next week.
Yes,
okay.
All right. Weekend. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fascinating, don't you know? Are we going to find out about, Ken's got a request. Ken doesn't call that often lately, so let's find out what that is right now so we don't lose him. So, Ken in Chicago, what is it you want to hear?
Well, hi, Raleigh. Good evening.
Yeah.
A couple of things before we get to the request. Not to get into an argument with the previous caller, but if God intended prayer to be used so you could find a dress in a resale shop, I think her meaning of doing prayer is a little misconstrued.
Well,
so,
you know, but wait a minute. There is a theory that don't just pray for the big things; pray for everything.
I get that, but the comment just kind of got me off on a little tangent here.
No, that's Ruth. So, you know, you got to expect this.
You know, 81 years ago today was D-Day, and
yes.
I had an uncle who was 21 years old and a captain flying B-24s, and he made his 25 missions successfully.
Yeah.
And he signed up to do another 25. And on the very first mission, he got shot down. They were able to bail out, thankfully, and they made their way back to. It's a fascinating story.
Oh, but that's great. So he was still with us after that. That's great.
Yes,
because
he had a broken leg, but he was. They were picked up by some French people, and he made his way back to England, and it's a fascinating story. But you know, it's really sad as we don't. You know, we're just not remembering our history. You know, Pearl Harbor and what happened there, and D-Day. And just in remembrance of D-Day, I know there's a couple of songs. I know that Nat King Cole had Straighten Up and Fly Right.
Right.
And then I think...
so did everybody else, by the way. That was a big...
Yeah. So something from that era, 1944. I think Swinging on a Star by Bing Crosby was another one.
Oh, well, you know, we have to play Mersey Dotes.
Mersey Dotes in the East.
Yeah, I'll play the Innocence version. Yeah, gotta have Mersey
Dotes. Just something to remember what happened back then on just a horrific day. So.
It absolutely was a horrific day. And yeah, I didn't even put it together, but it was June 6th, 1944. And far too many people made the ultimate sacrifice on that. And I know there's many people who go to the shores of Normandy every year to commemorate that. So
yeah, I actually have a trip planned. My wife and I are going to go next year.
We're
going to Normandy. They have a one-day tour out of Paris. You can take the train up and you can visit it, and it's an all-day tour, and then you get back on the train and go back to Paris. So,
well, you know, it's what's interesting, and there'll still be some next year, I'm sure, but about 24 veterans from there who landed on 1944 on that day. They're centenarians now, and they showed up. So
There's not many left.
I think the stories,
my uncle was one that would talk about the war, right. And I know there's a lot of guys that didn't, but he loved it. I mean, can you imagine, Raleigh? I think about what's going on in the country today, and you hear these 20, he was 21 years old. What was I doing? I was doing nothing at 21 years old. And you've got, and his tail gunner was 18.
Right.
I mean, you just think about, you know, some of these, like, just radical groups and everything going on about the country today, and you just have to think about the sacrifices these people made at those ages, and it's just, it's overwhelming.
Well, right, it and really younger, is. You know, there were people who were 15 lying about their age who were in there. But
absolutely.
As far as after the war, and I've mentioned this on the air a few times, the mind is so elastic and wonderful and protective that I remember so well, you know, 5-6 years after the war, that the veterans would be all together and talking, and they saw atrocities, no doubt about it, but that wasn't the subject. The subject was about the little girl in Paris, or what they did on leave, or what they did together,
right.
You know, all that. I mean, the mind was wonderful. It remembered all that, and the horrors of war receded in the background. Not to say that they forgot, but it just really wasn't their focus.
Yeah, the camaraderie was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, out of everybody out of my uncle's plane, only 3 guys survived.
Yeah.
Everybody else went down with the plane, and they weren't able to bail out. But, yeah, it's just, even now I'm just getting emotional about it. It's just really, it's just horrific stories, and just the bravery is just, I can't even comprehend it. It's just amazing.
Well, it was such a different time, because that was so patriotic. And now, of course, we hear many of the stories about Pearl Harbor, and maybe it was known, and, you know, it was World War II because we didn't get into the League of Nations and World War I and all that. But back then, that was not the conversation. The rank and file American, we are under attack and we're going to die. Protecting ourselves, and they did.
Well, and the last time I think the country really felt like we were all together was 9/11. I mean, that's when I really felt like everyone came out of the woodwork. Correct?
No, you're 100% right, because after World War II, you know, we've never had another war. We have police actions, we have conflicts, you know, thanks to the UN and all that, but we don't have wars. And that was a war that virtually everybody was behind. The women who stayed behind were, you know, in various things, making munitions and such. Everybody was on board.
Yeah. My uncle tells me about all the women who used to fly the airplanes from the factories over to England.
Yes, absolutely. You betcha.
I mean, women played a huge part in the war. Huge.
100%, and more than just in the medical corps. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
All right, so, good deal. Well, yes.
If you can play something tonight, that would be great, Raleigh. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll play a few things. Thanks for calling. All right.
You got it.
Mike, got to get some Andrew Sisters in there, too, on WGN Radio.
Choo-choo to Broadway, foo Cincinnati. Don't get icky with the 1, 2, 3. Life is just so fine on the solid side of the line. Blip, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Put a Yakisaki, want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Put a Yakisaki, want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. I like oysters, lobsters too. I like my tasty butterfish food. When I come home late at night, I get my favorite dish, fish. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. For a Yakisaki, want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're very nice. Want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, they're always very nice. Puriya, 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 Kasaki. Want some seafood, mama. Oh, won't you give it to me, cause I am happy as can be when the seafood comes to me. Da-da-dum, da-da-dum, da-da-dum. I like oysters, lobsters too. The
When I get home late at night, I get my favorite dish, fish. Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. For yak's sake, you want some seafood, mama. Shrimps and rice, very nice. Hold tight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'll tell you what, if you're thinking about a soundtrack for World War II, you can't do it without thinking of the Andrews Sisters. And that was interesting. They weren't the first to do it. It actually was written by Sidney Beckett's guitarist, Leonard Ware. And the two of them put it out as the Two Fishmongers. And later they claimed that it was Willie Spotswood and Eddie Robinson. And there were others who approached the Andrews Sisters' manager, who was Lou Levy, saying, this is a traditional jazz tune. Well, 5 days after Beckett recorded it, the Andrews Sisters recorded it with cleaner lyrics, to say the least. If you've heard the original, you know what I mean. But yeah, hold tight, want some seafood, mama. And that was with Jimmy Dorsey's band. And that was a hit. And there was a version after that, Fats Waller. And that actually predated the war. It was already a time when we knew it was coming, but it was predated, but certainly played during it with all the prohibition, eating beef, and all those other things. And the Fats Waller was downright dirty. And yeah, right. Although I could probably play it on the air at some point. But anyhow, we'll play some others. And of course, I'll use this excuse to play not the Mary Max, which was the big version of Mary's Dotes in the War, but I admit I liked Anderson Poncia doing it as the Innocents, so we might do that. Now, let's see what, and that's what Ken in Chicago wanted. It's the start of it anyway, and yes, it is, well, depending on where you are, it may no longer be, but in many areas, it still is the 6th of June, and in 1944, that was quite the day for over 66,000 soldiers. All right, so 888-876-5593, Jim in Richmond. All right, Jim, now, firstly, how was your surgery?
My surgery was a great deal, but I need to talk to you about my sister.
Really? Now, that's interesting. I would think the surgery was the big headline.
I won't know anything about it till tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I got a patch over it.
Okay.
And, you know, we didn't really discuss it, but there was a lot of detail going into how to get there. But
okay.
I got good news. My sister is back in the hospital.
Okay.
My brother took her to the hospital and said, it's not working. You know, the rehab place didn't work, and she couldn't even stand up or anything.
Right.
So he took her there, and then he had to leave to do a job. And then he said he went back later, and my sister was very lucid. She knew what was going on, which she didn't do for 5 days.
Right.
And in the rehab and at his house.
Uh-huh.
And she said they put her on LASIK drip.
Good.
He said they took so much water out of her.
Right, fluid, sure.
That, you know, that he could actually see the veins in her hands now.
Right.
And that you could squeeze her leg now.
Okay.
Or, you know, arms.
Good.
And you couldn't do that before. So
good.
He was excited about that. And then she told him, there's been five doctors coming in and out of here.
Yeah, that's good.
And it was, I was amazed. They said that she was, they put her in a rehab place, put her on muscle relaxers.
Okay.
And then in combination of the other medications that they were giving her.
Right, it practically knocked her out, of course.
Right, and she didn't even know where she was.
Well, right, it would do that. Of course it would. And unfortunately, you know, when we say in the vernacular that we're warehousing people when we put them in those facilities, sadly, to a good degree, we are. So the important thing here is to find, because obviously she can't live on her own. And given all your family dynamics, she's not going to be able to live with family. So with that in mind, it's tricky, but you need to find a place where she won't be warehoused.
Right, as my brother's looking for a place right now.
Yeah, and it's tough.
When she leaves the hospital, right. Another rehab place.
Right, but even so, you're going to look at long-term at some point. And what I'm saying is be very careful and visit these places at all hours of the day and night. See what it's like at 3 in the morning. See what the crew is like then and all of that. And because it's just, you just can't put her somewhere where she'll be warehoused. That would be just too cruel.
And then there was another backlash, another kick to that. My elder sister, who I told you they put a stent in her for her aorta thing.
Yes,
tried lifting her yesterday or the day before.
Tried lifting what? Tried lifting
my
what?
Sister.
Yeah, what
my
was
she, sister.
What was she lifting?
To go, lifting her up to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
And when they lifted her, she had this pain that went from where she had the stent all the way up into her face.
Yes.
And my goddaughter is an emergency room nurse in South Carolina, tells her on the phone, get out of the house, get to the emergency room right
immediately,
now.
Right away.
Right. So both sisters are in the same hospital right now.
Okay, yeah.
My brother, good. My brother walked in and he says, okay, I need to see the last name sisters.
Right.
And so then he visited, but I haven't heard anything other than that because I talked to him this evening while he was running around, when we got back. Now, for me, the place was great.
Good.
The best surgical place, even better than the hospital in Janesville.
Great.
But my brother was trying to get to my house, and there's construction on the road leading up to my house. And so I told him how to go around it, because my street is Lake Lorraine. The next one is Territorial, and they're a mile apart, and the lake is in between. So I showed him how to go, take Territorial, and then come down Lake Lorraine Road, and it curves and goes right to my house. Well, one garbage truck in front of him, one garbage truck the other way. He missed Territorial.
Oh,
so he would have been here at like 5-10 minutes before noon. Yeah. He got here at 12:20.
Yeah. Well,
and it's that long drive to go there.
Right.
So we get as far as the quick trip right before you got on the tollway because, bathroom break. And I get a phone call. Hi, this is the surgical center. Your doctor is done early. We would love for you to come in a half hour early.
Uh-huh. Well, of course, you explained, I'm on my way now, and it won't be a half hour early. Yeah.
Right. And my brother is, I have it on speaker because I don't put any phones next to my head.
Good.
Because of the flip phones when I had the headaches.
All right.
So, and my brother's listening, and he said, well, can you do your best? And when you asked Siri how long we would take to get there, it would have been 10 after 2,
right,
or 6 after 2, and my appointment was 2.
Uh-huh.
And he says, well, do you? And my brother yells out, I'm speeding right now, and if I get a ticket, you're paying for it.
Oh, God.
And then there, because he was so angry about getting lost and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the guy was silenced on the phone. Then he goes, drive carefully. And then they hung up.
Okay. That's great.
So then we got off at the Toohey Avenue exit right at 2.
Okay.
And we're driving down and my parents used to live, and that's where my sisters live, about a quarter of a mile away from Toohey.
Right.
And we're driving down right after we get off the expressway. And we don't recognize anything. There's about a million new buildings all the way down. And I used to have my potato chip route in that area.
Right.
I can see buildings right next to the road, but I can't see anything in front of me, And I'm going, I don't recognize anything. So we get there, and they go, oh, I'm glad you made it. We'll get to you when we get to you.
Right.
The nurse will come get you. I had to sign more papers
absolutely.
Than I did
The waivers.
When I bought my house.
Right, of course, that's true.
And I had to pull out my card that I carry in my wallet that's got the rectangle that you can sign in.
Right.
You know? And because she says, I'll put my finger there. And I go, I can't see what you're pointing to.
Right.
So we sign all these forms. And then we get inside, and they're nicest nurses in the world.
Oh, good.
And I was cracking them up with jokes and everything.
Good.
And because I have to, you know.
Sure.
My favorite joke is when you're at the grocery store and they say, have a nice day, you say, no thanks, I have other plans.
Right, exactly. You know? Yes.
You know, and so they all laughed. And every nurse in there heard it and laughed. But anyways, so we're signing all these forms. And then the anesthesiologist comes in and starts asking me all the same questions
right.
that were all on the forms he
right.
filled out.
Right.
But I didn't mind that and everything. And then right before we're ready to go in, she goes, wait a minute. He's not getting his cataract removed.
Oh,
he
no.
signed the wrong permission slip
oh, no.
for this. He's, and what was the name of the thing? He told me three times, and I can't remember. What was the name of the thing, the procedure that you said they were going to do?
Oh, I don't remember.
For my,
yeah.
Oh, so, it's like three names.
Yeah.
You know, but what you said what was what it was.
Okay.
And from because I matched what you said what he said.
Right.
And then I have to see him in Old Orchard at 11 tomorrow.
Right.
But anyways, so I had to wait for her to go get the yeah. paperwork from the front and sign it. And so they did that. And sorry I'm rambling because I've been up since 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah. No, it's time to go to sleep. You betcha. It was a laser surgery, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
And,
so,
and,
yeah, probably an SLT. But anyway, yeah.
I think that's something what it was. But anyways, so then when they got the forms and answered all the questions, it was the weirdest thing. They said, okay, we're going in now, and after they put the IV in and everything.
Right.
And then the doors going into there were exactly the same as the hospital in Janesville.
Okay.
So I'm being wheeled in. They put me in this room with tons of lights, and I yell out, this must be the operating room. It's freezing in here.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
Yes.
And they go, yeah, you made it. And I heard the doctor said, yeah, you made it. And they put in the oxygen tube in my nose.
Yeah.
And it wasn't 2 minutes later that I thought it was 2 minutes later. I'm back in recovery.
Perfect. That's
and,
the way to and, go.
Right. And I said, the doctor came in and said, everything was great. We'll see you tomorrow for recovery.
All right.
You know, just keep the patch on and everything.
Right, right. And don't hit your head.
Right.
Yeah.
And then my question to you is, remember I told you when he gave me that shot, a steroid shot in my
yes.
other eye?
Yes.
My blood sugars have been through the roof
yes.
today.
Yes, well, that'll do it.
Oh, and that's what I was going to ask you.
Yes.
Because they told me to stop taking my Traceba last night because they didn't want me to have it during the surgery.
Well, but, regardless of that, steroids are notorious for increasing blood sugar levels.
Right, but I don't know what they gave me during the surgery.
Well, that's of primary importance, obviously. You know, you gotta
right.
gotta look at it that way. And I'm sure they were aware of your diabetes, so they did what they needed to do.
Right. So I took my insulin as soon because I took it at 6:30,
right.
and here it was after 4 in the afternoon, and I took my insulin. We went across, and I got a Wendy's mini. Baconator.
Good.
And I ate that.
Good.
I ate that, and we drove home, and I got home, and it was 1:55, was the highest it was all day, 6 a.m. And then it shot up in the 200s.
Oh, God.
By the time I got home, and way in the 200s.
Yeah.
So then I came home, and then I took another shot of insulin,
mm-hmm.
and then I ate just one thing, because I was starving, and then all of a sudden, right now, while I'm on the phone with you, shot up to 260 something.
Oh man!
So it's never been my highest.
Well,
you know.
Yeah,
normal.
No, I understand. So, I understand that. There's a couple of things. For one thing, you could ask them, depending if this is going to become a problem. They have fast acting insulin. They could give you a different form of insulin. But the other thing right now is the biggest benefit to you. You really can't do with your eye problem at the moment, and that's exercise. You don't want to do exercise right now because that'll bring it down. But, you know, it's just a couple of days. And but, yeah, rapid acting like Novolog or Humalog.
That's what I take.
Oh, well,
I take Novolog.
Okay, well, if you're right, taking Novolog. Okay. Well, tomorrow will hopefully be a good day, and I look forward to hearing about it next week.
Right, and I just was so happy about my sister.
Yes,
so.
Excellent. Well, keep me posted. We'll talk to you next week, and be good to yourself.
And thank you for giving me time
to
talk about this.
Thanks, appreciate it. Yeah,
I want you to have a wonderful weekend.
All right, thanks. I appreciate that. I guess what I have to say is I think I have other plans. but
we got it.
Yeah, I'll be here Monday, though. Thanks, appreciate it.
Right.
Yeah, good
and
deal. What?
Oilers tomorrow night, they're going to lose.
Well, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you Monday. All right, good deal.
You know,
all right.
You know Rock is a...
Yeah, he's saying cats.
You know.
Yeah, I know, saying cats. We'll see. All right, thanks.
Okay.
So there you have it, and that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio. James Anderson Poncia, the Innocents, Mersey Goats, and yes, in World War II it was the Merry Max, but that was always my favorite version of that song since it came out in the mid-60s. Just loved it. All right, so next hour, Laura is up first in Willowbrook. We're going to find out all about those auditions and more, and there'll be plenty of room for you because we got another hour to go here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Kay Kaiser. Who else? Praise the Lord and pass the ammunitioning. Frank Lesser wrote that in 1942 in reaction to the attack on Pearl Harbor. But believe me, it was still being recorded and played. And originally what was sold was the sheet music at D-Day. So there's another one. And I'm not done at all. But Laura in Willowbrook has been waiting for days. The floor is yours. Take as long as you like.
Okay, I'll take 2 hours. No, just kidding.
Very good. if you call Tuesday, you can have 2 hours. I'll have lunch.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Well, I know you've always been helpful, so I thought, oh, last time I said I should have called before, so now I'm calling before auditions.
Good.
Okay. We've had our Zoom meeting to learn what we're supposed to be doing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And this production is 8 shows. Eight individual plays of 10 minutes each.
Okay.
So each director, which I'm one of eight, gets a 10-minute play to do. So I've got my play chosen, already got it set. Now comes the auditions. Here's the interesting part. I've never participated in this type of audition. First of all 8 directors are there, and people sign up for an hour time slot. And 6 people get the hour time slot, and they get to audition in front of all of us at the same time. It's like, okay, this is different. But the thing is, have you ever heard of without content? The audition scenes is not my particular play, but it's scenes that are without content in it. You ever heard of that?
Well, it means without a script. And so basically you can focus on a self-introduction, you can improvise, you can whatever you want to show off, but it's doing it without a script.
Oh, okay. Well, this is going to be different.
Well,
okay.
You know, it might be sharing your interests, share your experiences, you know, it can be, your day at the zoo. I mean, it can be anything.
Okay,
and then,
okay.
It's also, and I don't think this is the case with you, but it's also sometimes used in silent acting where there's no dialogue, where you demonstrate your ability to convey emotions without words. But I don't think they're asking you to do that. I think what this is there's no specific script. There's nothing specific to perform. You're not following any rule. You're there. You're improvising as far as that goes, but you're just reacting. If they may give you a situation, and that could be the case. I don't know. If they do, then what they want you to do is improvise your reaction.
Okay.
So if they do that, if they throw out, you know, a few words and say, you know, this is the scene, go for it, then they framed it and you would do that. But if they don't do that at all, then you're on your own.
Okay. Because they showed me the scenes that I'm supposed to direct. Okay. I mean, see, the people are going to try out, and I'm one of 8 people watching these people. And the scenes, like you said, it's just generic. Like, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you? You miss me? I mean, it's like so generic. It's like there's really nothing to it. So I guess we're, like you said.
Yeah, in that case, they've given you some type of a premise there, you know, where they're saying these are 2 people meeting on the street or whatever, and you're supposed to have the conversation. Then you do, you know. You can do whatever you want. You know, I'd probably just recite an Edward Albee play. I've been to the zoo. You know, but if they hadn't read the zoo story, that wouldn't work. But there's many things that you can do as far as that goes. But that's what it is in general. But
okay.
I have a feeling from what you're telling me that they're going to give you some type of a premise and then say go for it.
Yeah, they've got to, you would think.
Well, it's actually harder in a way than just generating it yourself. But, whatever it is, just also think in terms of a little off the wall.
Okay, there you go. It's like when they're explaining this, I'm like, I've done over 60 shows. I'm like, I've never done one that had
You know, if it's two people
like this,
like, but if it's two people and one of them is saying to the other, "Hey, how you doing?" You don't do that. Say, "I'm so good to, I'm so glad to see you. I heard what happened to your mother. That was terrible." You know, and you can.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You know, you can come up with anything. Hell, you can come up with Martians if you want. But the world is your oyster. Just take what they give you and play on it. You know, don't react to it straight. Completely
okay.
straight. You
okay.
you come up
okay.
with something imaginative.
Now this is going to be interesting too, because they said, okay, after all, like I said, six people get a time slot for an hour, so we get to see these six people for an hour,
okay.
and then we decide, okay, then it's like, okay, I don't know, I have to ask, because I don't know if they're going to draw straws or how they're going to decide which director gets to pick first.
Right.
So it's like the first director gets to choose who's going to be in their play, and then you go around.
Yeah.
Hopefully all the people want to be in more than one play. Otherwise, it could be interesting.
Well, you know, I mean, that's just like draft picks for sports. You know, I wouldn't worry about that. Don't worry about how they're choosing. First, worry about what you're going to do.
Okay, that's smart.
You know, as far, and you know, also be prepared to do a monologue. If there is no scene that they set, if they just say, all right, tell us, you know, go ahead. If that's all you get was go ahead, then, you know, you come up with a kind of a routine in advance of what you'll probably
that's
do.
Just,
you know, I probably would get up there and say, this is really odd because I had never heard of, you know, whatever you called it, self, you know.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I had to look that up. Do you know how many things that could possibly be? And, you know, I mean, and
you go.
Yeah, you can go in there with tons of things that are hilarious. You know, it doesn't have to be real. It doesn't have to be real at all. This is the world of theater of the mind. So by all means, just anything you want. But I think they're going to give you some type of a scene and then say go.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, you always have good insight, Raleigh. It's like, too bad we can't get you on the stage there.
Yeah.
You got enough with your radio.
Yeah, no, if this were 50 years ago, maybe. Now, no, I'll take a nap. But
okay, well, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Again, auditions are Sunday or Monday, so I'll call you after.
All right, yes, I can't wait to hear about it. Call on Tuesday, and we'll talk as long as you want about it. This will be fascinating. Good luck.
All right. Have a good weekend,
thanks.
Y'all.
You too. All right.
Bye.
So good. That'll be a lot of fun, I would think. And why not? And so, I think she will shine. We'll see. Tubby in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. What's going on, Tubby?
Greetings to you and John.
You too.
And I was so encouraged. I hope Mr. Richmond, I'm going to call him Mr. Richmond. I was listening to what he was saying when, you know, how they wanted to change his appointment time. And he sounds so positive and encouraging.
Yeah.
And I want him to know that I heard that. And that's the way you have to go at things. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got to recover, because you never know what the world's going to throw at you.
That's right.
I want him to know that sound, I heard him, and I was so happy to hear him with that tone. And with everything else going on with the sisters and stuff,
yeah.
I just think that was great. And, I just want people to just, you know, just relax, enjoy the summer. Okay, I got one of those one-liner songs, too.
Okay, all right.
Fasten your seatbelt. Oh, no, not my baby.
Oh, yes, Barbara Mason. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Okay, and you know what? I never know the name.
Yes. Wait, no. Well, actually, you do, because that's it. Oh, no, not my baby.
I know she says it twice.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just saying, kind of stuff popped up in my head, and I would not be able to pull it up. You understand? I want to make that clear. When I call you two, it's so great, because I don't know the name of the artist. I don't know the name of the song. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So there's no way for me really to get it. I got to go to Raleigh.
Ah. No, be happy to. Like I say, it's one of my all-time favorite records. So you'll hear it this hour, I promise.
I thank you so much. Then next week we're gonna go. I need to be paying y'all consulting fees. There are some glitches. I'm stuck on the same channel. I can't believe it. After the TV popped back on, and I'm like, bug is way back, right?
Oh, man.
And so I said, oh, wow, I got TV now, but I can't watch what I want to watch. But guess what? It's okay today. I'm not worrying about nothing. I want you to have a great weekend.
You
enjoy
too.
Yourself and be happy.
All right. Talk to you next week. Thanks, Stubby.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Yes, and Barbara Mason is coming up next. You don't have to twist my arm about that. And then we got James with some requests and Chris in Greenwood. We'll see what's up with Chris and Carl in Riverside and David in Winthrop Harbor. And Ruth is calling back to reply about praying. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. So we'll get to all that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
When my friends told me you had someone new, I didn't believe a single word was true. I showed them all I had of faith in you. I just kept on saying, oh no, not my baby. Oh no, not my sweet baby. You're not like those other guys. There's truth somewhere and I should use my head. But I didn't listen to what she said. I kept right on saying, oh no, not my baby. Oh no, not my sweet baby. You're not like those other boys.
WGN Radio, I'm Rolly James. I probably told you this before, but I wound up having to drive across the country in a radio promotion, and it was a last-minute thing that I was drafted to do this, so I get in the car, and I've got a cassette, and the only two songs on the cassette were Oh No, Not My Baby, Barbara Mason, and Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway, You Are My Heaven. That was it, those two songs. I drove for over 20 hours listening to just those two songs, and you'd think at the end of the trip I would have hated them. But no, the truth of the matter is they still remain two of my favorite songs. So that stood the test of time. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We've got Chris in Greenwood tonight. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Raleigh?
Okay, so is your promo still showing on CBS?
Yep, it's still showing.
Well,
that's great. Day.
That's great.
Yep. First and foremost, I want to give a birthday shout-out to my cousin, Linda Williams.
All right,
she
Linda.
She celebrates 70.
Oh, the big 70. All right.
So much for being like a mom to me.
Okay.
And I love the moon and back.
All right.
So happy National Donut Day.
All right. So she was in the class of 1973, probably.
Uh-huh.
If she's 70. Yeah, good, good. Well, happy birthday, Linda. All right.
Thank you. And National Donut Day is today.
Oh, my. How did you celebrate?
I go like a donut shop, like Krispy Kreme or whatever.
Yeah.
And just eat me a donut.
Yeah.
Two.
And how many did you consume?
Maybe two or three.
All right. That's respectable.
Yeah, because when I was growing up, we had B&E donuts back here in Greenwood.
Uh-huh.
And I would tear them donuts up like 3 days, and they were so good.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. I did not realize it was National Donut Day, or I might have celebrated. I guess I'm glad I didn't.
Yep, because it's midnight where y'all at, too.
Yes.
And you heard of, like, we used to have a 1350 in Greenwood called WGSW, and later
right.
It became WLA.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it went through a lot of changes, and
it was WLMA for a while.
Yeah, because the owner's mom, it was Wilma Moore.
Well, they've been off, haven't they been off the air like a decade?
Yep, since 2012.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They've been gone a while, and they were GSW, and you know, and I look at that and always say, "Oh, gunshot wound." Well, and that was twice they were GSW call letters. I'll never understand. And then QXJ, and then I think they were WLMA, and I always laughed at that, thinking, "Well, maybe that's what they did. Maybe they LMA'd it to somebody else. I don't know." So yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, you know, for the first time they had a lightning strike on their tower and it knocked them off. And I think the second time it made the building go on fire on Kateway, yeah. Which is right direct track.
Yeah. Well, and then in 72 they got competition with that 1090.
Yep, which is now WCZZ, is a daytimer.
Okay, yes, licensed to Greenwood. Well, that's what kind of prompted GSW to go 24 hours, I think, actually. And I think that started out as, I used to call it empty, WMTY.
Yep, because WMTY was originally 1090, and then they spun right. off 102.5 FM WMTY.
Of course, yeah.
And it became, now it's a Christian.
Yeah. But,
yeah, and WL. They went 1,000 watts day and 85 watts at night.
Okay.
Unlike CRS, they got more wattage than them.
Than listeners. But yeah, a lot of stations with more watts than listeners.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the thing is, like, they kept getting in trouble with the FCC. LMA did, the owner, and he moved the tower without
FCC telling them. Right, exactly. And I think that LMA, actually, I always thought it was like licensed marketing agreement, but I think his mother's name was Wilma or something, and that's why he chose it.
It was Wilma.
Yeah, something like that. So Wilma. But they might have been better if they did an LMA and licensed it out. So, yeah, you know, you don't fight with the FCC for too long. And so it was that that here they come to town when they had the Atlanta field office, and they discovered that, well, that's interesting. The station's not at its licensed facility. That's not where the tower's supposed to be. And so then the next thing was they determined, well, it really doesn't matter because the license expired. And so there were a lot of forfeiture orders and all that kind of stuff. And it took 15 years. The guy failed to file for renewal repeatedly. And it literally was over a decade. I mean, you got to give him credit. He was on the air a long time. All right, hang on. Yeah, you have ended this half hour, and I hope to talk to you soon. It's always good.
Okay.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so yeah. 888-876-5593, and we'll get hopefully to you in the next half hour here on WGN Radio.
PFC to CPL, SGT the LT. CP, the OD, the MP makes you do cappy. It's a GI Jive, man alive. It starts with a bugler blowing reveille over your bed when you arrive. Hey, Jack, that's a GI Jive. Rootily toot, jump in your suit, make a salute. Arrivoot, after you wash and dress. More or less, you go get your breakfast from a beautiful little cafe they call the Mess. Hey, Jack, when you convalesce, out of your seat, into the street, make with your feet, or read. If you're a PVT, your duty is to salute the L-I-E-U-T. But if you brush the L-I-E-U-T, the M-P makes you KP on the Q-T. It's just a G-I jive, man alive. They give you a private tank that features a little device called fluid drive. Hey, Jack, after you revive,
chunk all your junk.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Louis Jordan and the Timpani Five. G.I. Jive, Johnny Mercer wrote it and had the first single on it, and Johnny Mercer's version went to number one on the Harlem Hit Parade. It peaked at number 13 on the pop charts. Now, that was interesting. 3 months later, here comes Louis Jordan. He makes it to number one on both the Harlem Hit Parade and the pop chart with G.I. Jive, which was just huge around D-Day time. All right, so 888-876-5593. Carl in Riverside, what's up?
Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm sorry, Raleigh. I didn't.
It's you.
I didn't
You're
hear my
up.
Name, so.
Okay, Carl.
You caught me. I got caught short again. I can't believe it. I wanted to squeeze in yesterday, but as usual, I was too late.
Aww.
Hey, I believe last night you were speaking of movie theater popcorn butter.
Oh, God, not. Which is not butter.
You know what? Upon occasion, it does not set well with my gut.
Well, it
so
shouldn't. It shouldn't.
You know?
I mean, you know, it's we went over exactly what's in most of that stuff. And, of course, we were talking about it because of the big vat that Marvel is putting out that they debuted yesterday. But, yeah, there's no butter in that stuff.
It's it wasn't bad some months ago, but I think... You know how everything changes from time to time, and they must have changed it. And I'm going, gee, I don't remember there being salt in it before.
Oh yeah, there was always salt, but maybe not as much. Yeah, the problem is Flavacol. Flavacol is a concoction, and you're not going to know exactly what's in it. And that's, you know, just like natural flavorings, you know, the flavoring houses don't tell you what they're putting in it. But we know some of what's in Flavacol, and we know enough not to eat it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So there I am at the spigot.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, of course.
Shall I not mention the theater?
It doesn't matter what the theater chain is because they're not in charge of it. You know, firstly, the oils they all use are going to be seed oils of some sort, the bottom of the barrel. And of course, if they're using rancid oil, well, you're in trouble right there. But for the most part, they don't. Some theaters will actually use flavored coconut oil, which is a better deal all the way around. But almost all of them use Flavacol, and it's this frankenfood that emulates butter to a degree. And of course it's got a lot of yellow dye and all that kind of stuff, couple brands of that. And so it is actually sold as a kind of seasoning salt, but that's the secret ingredient, Flavacol.
The popcorn was good though. The popcorn's pretty
well,
good.
Well, yeah, if you can get away from the Flavacol, yeah. I always say get it dry. And then, of course, if the individual theater is using a bad seed oil, all bets are off. But assuming that they popped it in something decent, that should be okay.
I tell you, you got me so scared I'm never going to use that stuff again.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, why? Use it. If you get sick a couple more times, then, you know, you'll never use it, you know. at least that's the way I do it. You know, it's like, hey, one time I'll give it a break and say it was just me. Two times I'm suspect. It happens three times. That's it.
Well, I tell you, I put some on last night. Yeah. You know, there's sometimes you, if you pick up a couple handfuls out, you want to shake the big container, right, to evenly distribute it.
Okay.
And the top layer, the kernels started all sticking together.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like that.
Well, if you're talking about doing this at home, there are so many different brands that all bets are off. But you can clearly look at the ingredients and kind of decide. And also, this is one where I would, whatever you're thinking of eating, I'd look at some of the reviews online, you know, some of the Reddit threads and stuff like that. They'll tell you.
Hey, Raleigh, here's what I went to go see. It wasn't too bad.
Okay.
It's called The Last Rodeo.
Oh, okay.
That was the name of the movie
okay.
a couple nights ago. Not shabby. Not too
okay.
shabby.
All right. So, yes, supposed to be a drama. And it's showing in a lot of places in Arizona, all the Harkins theaters.
If you like, you know, guys riding on big bulls, okay?
Okay.
It's for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've seen maybe half a dozen movies in my life, so none of them are for me. But yeah.
I like Tornado better, and it had nothing to do with the weather.
Right. Well, okay. Right. Yeah. So how have the reviews been on the last rodeo?
You know what? I usually go to Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
And they said it was, you know, halfway deep. You never know, really.
Of course
until you
not.
Experience it
well, of
stuff,
course not.
You know?
That's right. You know? Yeah. So,
but hey, how we doing with what's going on with Karen Reed? The Karen Reed trial.
You know that I've been remiss, haven't I? Oh my God! Well, I promise you, next Tuesday we'll have an entire Karen Reed update.
So you know that thing's got to be ending soon.
Why would you think that? Kidding.
What do you want it to go on forever?
Well, you know, it's sort of like I remember when my adopted mom was still alive and she was getting to the end of her life and the OJ trial was on. And she says, oh, dear, well, I hope I go before it's over. I'll have nothing to watch after this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so apparently they're still absolutely going at it. And, you know, the defense team is building on momentum from a surprise police witness who testified this week. That her taillight was less damaged when he helped.
No matter what happened, you know, reasonable doubt, and she skates, I guess.
Well, we'll see. There's a lot more that's coming out. But yeah, when this woman testified and said that her taillight was much less damaged when it was seized than as it was after the fact, it sort of put some doubt in on that. But of course, we'll see.
One way or the other, it's real interesting, all these details, you know?
Well, it's a circumstantial case. All they have is details.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she did it in terms of with hardcore evidence. It's all about innuendo and, and minutiae.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. One more. Yes. And then I'll cut you loose. And I believe you're talking about Don Cornelius.
We did last night. Yes. Someone called about that.
You know, I thought the gentleman was going to say the following. I remember him signing off on Soul Train. And let me know if I'm right or wrong on this. Didn't he leave with peace, love, and soul? or am I wrong on that? That's what I thought.
No, absolutely. It was his sign up. He'd always say that, peace, love, and soul. Yes.
And he would kind of kiss his fingers.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, like it was a French
meal.
I don't
know. Yeah. It takes
so,
me back.
Yeah, but no, that's absolutely right. Peace, love, and soul. Yeah, he turned soul peace, into a verb.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, listen, hey, squeeze in a few more. Great talking to you again. I hope you have a good weekend, young lady.
You too. You too.
It's always a pleasure.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, ciao.
Yeah,
bye.
And it was a very sad ending, and of course he took his own life, but some of the allegations beforehand, just not noble, not the way I'd want to go. All right, yes. I hope nobody notices whenever I go. That's right. Whatever happened to her? I don't know. That'd be perfect for me. We'll do one more of the World War II songs. I've got a couple things in mind, and we'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Hey daddy, what that there? And why that under there? And oh daddy, oh hey daddy, hey look it over there. Hey what they doing there? And where they going there? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Hey who that in my chair? And what she doing there? And oh daddy, oh hey daddy, can I go over there? Hey daddy, what's a square? And where do we get air? And daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? My quizzical kid, man, he doesn't want anything here. He's forever demanding to know who, what, and why, and where. inquisitive child. And sometimes the questions get wild, like, Daddy, can I have that big elephant over there? Don't wanna comb my hair and wear my teddy bear. And oh, Daddy, oh, hey, look at the cowboy coming there.
Hey, can I have a pair? Radio, I'm Ollie James. I played that Tuesday night and talked about that song, but I wasn't actually planning to play it right now. I thought I was hitting Johnny Cash, which is what David wanted to play. But when it started, I thought, I can't stop this. I really like this. 1961 on Columbia, and the LP was Sin and Soul. So hopefully you heard it Tuesday night, and you got to hear it again. And I think we're going to talk to Gail here before the evening is out as well. But continuing on the theme of Karen Reed, yeah, I guess it's time to have a little conversation about this. Karen and Madison, what do you think?
I don't have much to add except today nothing happened because
weather.
It was too hot out
yes.
in Boston.
Right, weather. Yes, they canceled it for weather. And when I heard that, I thought, weather? You know,
That's what I thought.
Yeah, right. I'm like, what kind of weather? You're not telling me it's a snowstorm. And so the idea that, oh, my goodness, too much weather. No, no. But yesterday was very interesting. The snowplow driver who testified that he did not see a body when he was plowing, suggesting it might have been placed after the snow was plowed. And the prosecution comes on and says, well, you're just saying that because of public pressure. Like, what? And then, of course, the defense gets an emergency room doctor who believes that O'Keefe's injuries were caused by a dog bite. And so that supports the theory that he was attacked by a dog. And the prosecution comes in and says, well, wait, there's nothing on O'Keefe's sweatshirt. And so the defense comes back and says, well, you should have tested it immediately. You didn't. And so that's the deal. So the defense has been arguing that O'Keefe was attacked by a dog, particularly at a home owned by another police officer, and his body was placed at the snow later. So they covered a lot of ground on that.
Oh, boy.
We'll see.
Well, that must have been a big day yesterday.
Yes, and it's back on tomorrow.
Don't they have a whole court in the summertime? I mean, what, you know, why? Because of the heat. It was, you know, 86, but so what, you know, it's summer now. I just didn't understand that.
Right, with a 2% chance of rain. I don't know. They didn't claim that the air conditioning was off.
No reason.
Right.
She didn't feel good, and it was warm out. It's warm outside.
Well,
I assume
the court canceled it.
Yeah, I just listen to the news.
Yeah.
I don't listen to the, because I don't want to take too much of my time.
Right.
That is about the worst trial I've ever seen.
But tomorrow, well, and of course, it's a retrial also. And that's the other thing, because, of course, she was found innocent of a couple of the charges, or not, I shouldn't say that. She was found not guilty of a couple of the charges. And there was one that hung, and that's causing the retrial. Now, her attorneys wanted the two where she was declared innocent to be thrown out because it would be double jeopardy. The courts refused. So they're really looking at different charges. It's not just one that they're going to have to decide on.
Yeah, there's like three or something.
Right, exactly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so this is interesting, to say the least. Yeah, it's a second-degree murder, manslaughter while driving drunk, and leaving the scene of a collision. Those are the three. And she's pleading not guilty to all of them. And, of course, they're saying, you know, like we said with the plow driver, that, hey, you know, they put the body there later and it was a dog. And, you know, who knows?
Next it'll be a coyote. And
that sounds
good. We know it's a coyote now, and now we know it's not the dog bite.
Yeah.
The
problem is, whenever you're looking at a circumstantial evidence case, it really comes down for the jury just emotionally deciding how they feel about it, because there's no concrete evidence on this.
Yeah. I don't know why they did this second time.
Well, right, exactly.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I thought I'd chime in on
good. Yeah, well, you know, we've got tomorrow. Got a whole day tomorrow. All right, good deal.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. You have a nice weekend.
You too, thanks. It is quite the trial, and I think that under many circumstances, when she was acquitted of two charges and the third resulted in a hung jury, that in most cases that would have been thrown out and that would have been the end of it. But obviously, this is a police officer involved who's been killed, and there's a lot of pressure on that. So hence the retrial, and you know, there's a number of facets of this, and the reality is, as far as I'm concerned, nobody knows. And so it will come down to emotion in terms of, you know, how do people feel about this? Because it's not going to be like, well, this piece of evidence clinches it for me, because I don't think there's anything in there like that. So now, granted, I'm not maniacally watching it, but from what I've seen, that's the deal. All right, so James on the South Side has requests. He's been waiting for half an hour. So what are they, James?
Okay, wonderful by Johnny Mathis.
Okay.
But since you already had done the all sort of wartime one, I'm not going to give you the I don't get around much anymore.
Oh yeah. Well, maybe we'll play that anyway next week. It's a nice song.
Okay. And okay, the other one, two are like four where Father's Day is coming up, so
let's see.
Okay, Luther Vandross, Dance with My Father, and Monster with James Blunt.
Okay. All right. We'll see what we can
do. Also, one story I'm going to give you about a Navy guy who came back. He had entrusted his family with his five-year-old golden retriever, John, I think his name was... Paulo Silva.
Okay.
And what ended up happening while he was away, the family member he had entrusted gave the dog away, saying that the dog wasn't adjusting well.
Oh no. Archie, that was
when
Archie.
He came back.
And this is in Monmouth County. Yes, they gave away Archie. This is terrible.
Yeah. And so then, eventually when he came home, with the help of social media and some dog lovers everywhere, it seemed like, including a golden retriever breeder, basically they found Archie.
Yeah, but Archie has a new home now.
But they did reunite them.
Oh, that's wonderful. But yeah, you feel, and that's great, as well as it should be. But in the meantime, somebody loved Archie, so that is sad. But yes, I'm delighted they're reunited, and I think he needs to divorce the family. All right. Yes, that's right. Put an end to them now. All right.
And one other thing, there was a story about 29 million 401k that have been almost abandoned, worth about $1.7 trillion.
All right, good deal. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay,
thanks. Okay. All right, so there you have it, Archie. All right, 888-876-5593. Gail in Michigan is going to close the show, I do believe. So, Gail, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'm sorry I didn't hear it, man.
Missed it. Yeah, Tuesday, absolutely. Played the whole thing, talked about the whole history of it and all that. Yeah, we had fun.
Oh, no. I must have fallen asleep.
Well, sleep is sacred. Always get sleep when it's there.
I'm on Eastern time here, you know.
Yes.
I'm not. So what can I, what can I tell you? I must have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
I'm really, really, I'm sorry. And I'll have to go back and find it.
It's on Tuesday. But we can call me next week. We'll talk more about it and talk about Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Okay.
All right.
I have a ginger, and I have another story to tell you next week.
Oh,
too,
good.
So.
I look forward to hearing it.
Okay,
thanks.
Okay,
appreciate
bye.
It. All right, so let's see, I got 30 seconds. Now, I'd say I'd give it to Ruth, but Ruth has never said anything in 30 seconds. But can you try, Ruth?
Hi, well, this is great. I get the biggest blessings on the face of the earth. The praises go up and the blessings come down. That pass the ammunition was just right up my alley.
Oh, good.
So, quick comebacks are not a sign of intelligence. However, I know that a person who can come to the table when they're needy can request in a prayer, especially something that is not frivolous, because you can come to the table when you are needy. so many people come to that table and they're not needy. Well, we'll get into that in another show. But the big story that I've been waiting to tell you is about a children's camp chaplain. I was on my way to the Hobo Convention, which I'd waited years for, to find out where it was. Every time at House Beautiful Magazine, I'd find out afterwards. Well, finally, after I left there, I found out about the Hobo Convention. On our way to the Hobo Convention, and there's a pontoon boat sitting out alongside of the road in a farm behind
Ruth, remember I told you 30 seconds? The show is over. Talk to you next week. All right. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it again. A replay tomorrow night, then a full show of Monday Night Trivia coming up on Monday right here on WGN Radio.